Okay, so we're going to be talking about faith, but we're not going to be talking about faith as faith itself, the subject. But what we're going to be talking about is how you can operate in your faith. Okay? And what's faith's greatest opposite? Unbelief. So can I put doubt and unbelief in the same category? Is that okay? If I put that, because if you doubt, you go without, right? So if you don't believe, then you can't receive. Can you accept both of those? So we're going to talk about doubt and what causes doubt and how does doubt have a right to remain in us, okay? So I want to kind of hit that a little bit because sometimes when we're operating by faith, and just simply said, that is laying hold of what Jesus has already provided for us. Okay, so we're going to, for us to believe what God said is true for us, that we can walk in it, have it, that it can be a part of our existence, he had to provide it for us, right? And so he's provided a lot of things for us that we may not believe that we can lay hold of it. We can operate in it. It's okay for us. And so because of that, that's that doubt and unbelief that gives that right to be in there. Okay? Because I can say, okay, I don't want to doubt anymore. That doesn't mean you're not going to doubt anymore. So we'll look at a couple of those things. We're also going to look at why God gave us this power. You know, sometimes we think it's for us, right? And it's not. It's for the body of Christ. It really is for the body of Christ. And so he's given us who we are in him for you all. He's given me that for you, but he's given you that for me and the rest of us. Are you with me on that? Okay, so get out your Bibles, because I'm going to pretty much stay in two books with one extra verse unless the Holy Spirit tells me otherwise. So I'll tell you the extra verse first. Ready? 1 John 4:17. Some of you have that memorized already. And this is just a random verse plucked out of the New Testament, but it's very powerful and very important. So I want to show you two verses here that are really going to be powerful. So are you ready? Here you go. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in heaven when we get there. Is that what it says? Where is it that we are just like Jesus? In this world. So can we say in this life right now? The me who's here is the one that's just like the fullness of Jesus Christ. Okay, turn back a page. I told you, unless I get one. So Mary's not going to have this. It's going to be 1 John 2:6. I'll read it to you if you don't have a Bible in front of you. 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him, that's Jesus, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Got it? So this says this, that if you say you're in Christ, then you should walk exactly the same way Jesus walked on the earth. You should conduct yourself the same way Jesus conducted himself. Your agenda should be his agenda. Because as he is, so are you in this world. Is that too hard of me saying it like that? I'm being emphatic, but I don't want to condemn anybody. Okay, so when we get that set in our hearts, because he made us way more powerful than we may be walking in. So let's take a look at some stuff. You with me? Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I was very kind to Mary, so I gave her Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, all of it. Isn't that going to make it easier on her? Praise the Lord, Mary. Okay, so first thing I want to do is look at verse 1 of Ephesians 1. Do any of you not write in your Bibles? If you're okay writing your Bibles, you might want to write something in this verse right above it. Verse 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. To Robert. Or you can put your name. Because it says here, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and these particular saints, and faithful in Christ Jesus. So this letter is written to Christians who are faithful to Christ Jesus. So I wrote my name in here, to Robert, who is faithful to Christ Jesus. This letter is written to me. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He starts off with a punch. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So he's writing this letter to me and to you personally, that our blessed God and Savior has given you everything, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So is there anything lacking? Is there anything he didn't give us? Are there any blessings out there that haven't got our name on it? No. Isn't that wild? He's given us every spiritual blessing, but we're in this world, and those are in the heavenly places. So maybe we don't get to lay hold of them, or they're hard or elusive somehow, because they're in the heavenly places and you and I are here in this world. Right? Wrong? Let's see. So boil it on down. Come on down. I want to hit verse 13 in chapter 1. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Is that you guys? It's me. It's you. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? Okay, so not only have we got every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, but because we do believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You guys remember a few years ago or months ago or in times past when I did the example of the envelope and I put something in the envelope? And if you turn the envelope over, it could fall out, right? But when you seal that envelope, it's contained within that envelope, yes? So when we've been sealed in the Holy Spirit, we're contained within the Holy Spirit forever. So when God sees us, who does he see? Jesus, because it's the Holy Spirit. Just by the way, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ Jesus, just in case you didn't know. So he sees Jesus when he sees us. So however he's treating us the same way he treats Jesus. We need to get this, guys. And I want to help you get rid of the stuff that says that that might not be your experience or true for you. So let's go on just a little bit further. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, listen to this, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and the glory of God. So listen, this is because there's going to be a day when Jesus cracks the heavens open, and if you still are on the earth at that time and you haven't gone ahead of everyone else to be with the Lord, if you're still here on the earth at the time that he cracks the heavens open, that the trumpets blast and that the angels come and you're raised with him, he's going to raise the dead first and then us. At that time, he's going to transform, it says in Thessalonians, our lowly bodies into his glorious body. Are you aware of that? So it also says in Peter that it's going to be that the day star is going to rise in our hearts. So it's like the glory of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is going to burst forth from you and transform your physical body to be a glorious body. If you're here on the earth when it doesn't. If not, you're going to step across, when you go through the veil of death, you'll step into your glorious body then, because it says that when this heaven, earthly tent is destroyed, we have a heavenly body. Do you guys know that? That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we have this available to us, and it's going to take place one way or another. But what happens is the devil confuses us and blinds our minds, and the spirit of this world and of this age is against us to realize who we really are. And so he's actively trying to keep us blind. That's why I had Cameron sing this song first, that it is. So verse 15 says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for your love for all the saints." That's High Point Church. We are a loving church, yes? And for you saints that are watching, it's Paul saw this in these Ephesians, that they really did love God and love each other, and that he was reminding them of the gift of God, what's given and provided to them. And as he laid this out in verse chapter 1 until verse 15, he laid that all out for them. Now he starts addressing them specifically what he wants to share with this group of people. And he said, "Therefore I, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints," verse 16, "do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He was really excited about this group of people. They had it. They were in it to win it. And this is what he said when he prays for them. "This is what my prayer is for all of us." Paul's prayer is the same prayer, because before I read this to you, and those of you who have read ahead, you're already ahead of me, but here's the thing that I've noticed, is that this is not true in a lot of people's lives. Even though they're saints and they love God, this is not true in their life. And it needs to be true in your life. And so we're going to talk about how to make that true in your life, what we're about to read, because it's vital while you walk on the earth. While you walk on the earth. When you are done with this body, or you've been transformed and raised into his heavenly body, you're not going to need this verse, because you're going to see him face to face. Okay? And as he is, it says in 1 John 3, as he is, you're going to see him and you're going to see yourself in him when he comes again. And you'll be transformed to be just like him. But in the meantime, you need this verse to be true for you here in this group of verses. It's verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. This is vital for you to have this. Look at this next verse, 18. "The eyes of your understanding," or the eyes of your heart, some of your translations say. The point is the you inside of you, the one inside of you that sees, that you talk to, that you consider is you, the invisible one inside of you, that's who he's talking to. "That the eyes of your heart," or your understanding, "being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you." It says in the saints. So listen, he is praying for these guys that love God and love each other and really believe in Jesus. And he's saying, listen, I am praying for you that the eyes of your heart would be opened, so that you really can see how God actually is. That you would have wisdom, which is to see clearly. Wisdom can see clearly. Remember David, when the mother lost her child and she stole the other woman's child? And then they brought it before David, or Solomon, I'm sorry, it's Solomon. Solomon. There's going to be people that say I said the wrong person, so I made my own correction. So Solomon, they bring him before Solomon, and they tell their case. This is my baby. No, this is my baby. No, she stole my baby. No, this is my baby. And so what do we do? He was the wisest man on the earth. And his wisdom said, cut the baby in half. Why would he say cut the baby in half? Because he could see clearly. He could see clearly that love would step up. Love would truly step up. And when he did, the real mother said, stop, don't do it, give it to her. I don't want the baby to be hurt. And then he said, give it to this woman. Wisdom can see clearly. And he prayed that your eyes would be open and that you would have a spirit of wisdom so that you can really see things clearly. And revelation. Now, revelation comes by the Spirit of God. And it says that the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. No one else could know them. Only God's Spirit knows the deep things of God. Just like your spirit, your invisible person inside of you, knows you. We don't know the fullness of who you are. We know who you show us and what we can perceive. But you really know who you are. And so the Spirit in you knows you, and the Spirit in God knows God. And so by God's Spirit, he shares revelation to your spirit. And so, by the way, your spirit, it's in heavenly places, by the way, just so you know. So you are seated, we're going to look there in a minute, in heavenly places. And so God's Spirit tells your spirit, and that's revelation knowledge, the things of God. So he's praying that you would have this revelation knowledge. So when you can see clearly and have this revelation knowledge, something can take place in your life that absolutely cannot take place in a non-believer's life. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Why is he so excited that he called you and me and all of us together? Why is he so excited about that? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance inside of you and me? That we would really know what we've been given in God. And I want to share with you today that what you've been given in God goes with you into eternity. It's not a gift that he gives you and then you don't need it later on, he takes it away. No. This adds to you. And when you really know what your inheritance is in God, then we can actually walk in that stuff. But if our eyes aren't open, the eyes of our heart, my invisible eyes, that when I close these eyes, I can still see stuff. Like when I say red apple with a worm, you can just do, right? It's like, boom, there it is. How'd you see that? Or if I say, picture your front door, dude, boom, you can do it. How do you do that? It's not in this room, but you can do it. Those eyes are very important to God because that's the eyes of your spirit person. That's your real eyes. Those are the eyes that you need to use when you walk in the Spirit, not these ones. And when you really can get it settled in your heart that as he is, so am I in this world, that it's the invisible me inside of me, the one that I talk to, and those eyes that I just demonstrated that you use, that's the person who's saved. That's the person who's going to heaven. That's the person who has everlasting life. That's why that's the person that has to have its eyes open so that you can participate in spiritual things and not just be a person that does good things and has your life mimic what a good person in the Bible is supposed to do. But instead, you actually become a living expression of the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. Not because you've made yourself that way, because you've realized he made you that way. Let's go on a little bit further. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? What is this great, extended, great power towards us that he used towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places? God raised Jesus from the dead. You guys know that. And he raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus ascended on high, and God sat him next to himself in his own throne in heavenly places. And by raising him up like that and seating them here, this next part is what he did. When he raised him up, he raised him up through the heavenlies where different principalities and powers are. And he raised him up through all of that and took him to the highest point possible in authority and in life itself. And took him to the highest place and sat him at the highest. When God looks up, there's nothing above him. He's at the top. And Jesus is seated in him. So Jesus has this great position now and this authority that he's been given. And far above all principalities in verse 21, and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Does that sound like it's pretty much everything? So every name that is named. So quite literally, you cannot name anything that Jesus is not above. If you can name it, he's above it. If it doesn't exist yet, and it starts to exist, it'll have a name, and he's above it. There's absolutely nothing above him. Does that make sense? He's been raised. He is absolutely the fullness and the highest authority of all has been given to Christ Jesus. Not only in this age, that's the one we're living in right now, but also in the age which is to come. So in the new ages ahead, and we don't know what they are yet, because this part of the book isn't finished yet. It's when the whole body of Christ is raised together in him, then, and the earth is transformed into a new heaven and a new earth, then a new age will start. And in that age, he's above that age also. So even in the new one that's going to come, he's above that one. And he put all things, that's God the Father, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be the head over all things. Where did he give it to? What's the last two words in that sentence right there? Are you kidding me? Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things. Wait a minute. Hold your horses. Set the cat outside. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me that he gave it to the church? Hallelujah. Which is Jesus' very own body. How many of us have said we're the body of Christ? Okay, well, guess what? His body is sitting next to God above absolutely everything that can be named is his body. Our eyes have to be opened inside to really be able to have that wisdom and revelation of what our inheritance actually is that he gave us. What is this power that he really gave us? Because he gave it to the church. Not the church by itself, the church who is his body, who is in him, that is putting on him and walking as he walks, that is just like he is in heavenly places, seated at the right hand of the Father. There's some stuff that is trying to block us from walking in this. Let's go on and look. Skip down to verse 5. This is talking about us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. Some of you might need a black permanent marker and scratch this out of your Bible so that it doesn't land in your eyes, because it might be too hard for you. And I'm kind of being silly, but something inside of us can like blot this out. There's something inside of us that has the ability to block this out so that it doesn't have entrance into our heart. And it's this. And raised us up together and made us sit together with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. So when Jesus gathered together all things that are his in heaven and on earth, us, and God raised him and set him above every principality and power, dominion, everything that has a name, he set him up there. He took you and me with him. He didn't say, you can go sit there. When he made you, he made you to sit there. You're not stealing anything. You're not pretending anything. You're not being something that you're not when you walk in the full authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made you to do it. He put you there himself. If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you're the body of Christ. You've been born again. You've been sealed in the Holy Spirit, so you can't wreck it. There's nothing you can do to wreck it. It's impossible. You weren't the one that saved yourself, so you can't be the one that takes yourself out of salvation. It's done. You're seated there. So now what do you do with that? How do you live your life? How do you see yourself? How do these eyes inside of you see things? What is it you see with those eyes? What is it you say with those words that only you can hear? What is it you agree with and disagree with? Verse 6 again, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. At the ages, that in the ages to come, remember up here in verse 21 we talked about these ages, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. He's the one that built us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That means operating in all the gifts of God and all the things he's given you, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not that we could walk in them, that we should walk in them. So he made you just as he is. It's not even a kind of, sort of, or maybe. It's crystal clear. Paul was writing to these people who really loved the Lord and demonstrated the love of the body very, very well. That's who he was writing to. That their eyes would be open, that they can really see with wisdom and revelation what God's really given them, because they have been raised above every principality and power and every evil thing, and they have the full authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, because it's him, his body in the earth still. You and I. Well, we can probably go home now, or give me 2 more hours. One or the other. So, looking at this, there's a lot I've got to tell you. So now I'm going to have to go on fast forward, okay? So everything that I got to say, I've got to say really quick because it's in here in the Bible. So let's get your ears open, and you're going to have to listen at double speed, okay? Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 8. To me, this is Paul, who am the least, less, who am less than the least of the saints. This grace which was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, that's you and me if we weren't born natural Jews, the unsearchable riches of Christ. These are things you can't find out by living. It only comes by revelation. You can't look, see, or study for it. It comes by the light of God touching your spirit. And this is what happened to Paul. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So Paul was given this ton of revelation so that he can reveal this mystery that is in God that you can't find it out by studying or looking around or talking to somebody. It has to come by the light of God. So now Paul was the one that God chose to explain that to us, because it's been hidden from us. It's been hidden from everybody. But now it's been revealed in Christ Jesus. So now this is that mystery of what was hidden before Christ raised from the dead. And it's this. To the intent, verse 10, that now the manifold wisdom of God, that means that wisdom, manifold wisdom. You guys ever seen the old V8 hot rod cars and they had manifolds on them? I think all cars still have manifolds on them, right? Unless they're electric. What's a manifold? It exactly the opposite. It takes one thing, which is the gasoline that comes into the carburetor, old school, and goes down through the manifold and goes into 8 different cylinders. So what it does, it takes the gasoline, mixes with air, and then goes into 8 different cylinders of these cars. So the manifold is the thing that takes one thing and divides it up into many other things. Okay? So that the many other things can use it. So that's the manifold in a car. So this is the manifold, or it says variegated in another translation. So a manifold is that goes and distributes it in all kinds of areas, okay? To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, so this is God's wisdom being divided up, might be made known by the church. Okay, so God decided that you and I, he was going to give each of us wisdom so that as we live in our lives and we go about our lives, we can each be a part demonstrating this wisdom of God, okay? And so we're going to go about and demonstrate this wisdom and power of God, what God has given to us that he had himself. And there are people or somebody that we're going to share this with. Let's see what it says. Oh, you got it ahead of, you guys are ahead of me. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, look at, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So when God raised up Jesus and brought us with him and took us up through the heavenlies, through all the principalities and powers and all the names that can be named, and took us through and above them and sat us there in Christ in the heavenly places in the throne of God and put us there that the fullness of him would dwell in us, now we bring that and share that with who? Who do we prove that this is true to? The principalities and powers. Not people, because we're all in the same boat. It's the gift been given to all of us, so we don't need to prove it to us. It was given to us. It's all of those invisible forces that are trying to not let you believe who you really are, that are designed to stop you. That's going to be accidents, poverties, fights, sicknesses, mental illnesses, tragedies, hunger, loss. All these things are going to be designed against you, and you have to take authority over them. You're above every name that can be named. You're above it. But the devil really does not want you to walk in that. So, gosh, give me 2 more hours, Lord. So listen, there's something that victims do, and you're not that. You're victorious. What a victim does is it fights to be the good guy. And it fights that the bad guy did it to them. So the bad guy is responsible for the punishment. I'm the good guy. I'm the victim here. Okay? I want to let you know, you are not the good guy and you are not the victim. You are Christ Jesus. Amen. Get that. You're above it all. You're above the judge. You're above it all. You're with Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places. The world does not want you to believe that. It's going to try to make you, oh yeah, prove it. I'm telling you. Keep your mouth shut. Get your eyes open. And believe the word of God. Then when you speak, you don't speak against flesh and blood. Go to chapter 6. Then I'm going to back up to go to chapter 4. So chapter 6, verse 10. So in Ephesians, he wrote all this stuff to us. And now he says, finally, my brethren. So he's going to culminate all that, and he's going to give us the armor of God. And the armor of God has been given to us for the purpose of not going out to battle. That's not what this armor is for. We're going to see what it's for. You need to look at verse 12, but we're going to start in 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, that means you're seated with him in heavenly. It's not in your strength. It's not in your great wisdom. In the Lord and in the power of his strength, his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What was the armor designed for? Against who? All the tactics of the devil. Principalities, powers, right? All these. So he's giving you this armor so that you can stand, not go after the devil, not go after people. You've already been given all authority and all power, and you're seated in heavenly places. There's nothing that needs to be added to you. So now it's a position that you have that now you need to stand in that position. And the devil's going to try to take you out of that position in your mind and your experience in this life. And you have to be the one that holds your ground. Because it's hard enough for you to believe it yourself. That's why your eyes need to be opened of your heart. So you can really know that's who you are. Paul was very serious in praying about this for these people. And so that they can stand against the wiles of the devil. I mean, you need to really look at this book. Chapter 4 is just deafeningly good. And so it says in verse 12, I'll read it again. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the trickery or the thoughts. The noemas is the Greek word. The devices, the thoughts he puts in your mind. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's people or animals. Who do we wrestle against? It's right there, you guys. Principalities, against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, the one you're in right now. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness who are actually in the heavenly places. So you've been given this authority over these principalities and powers and evil rulers in these dark places. Not people, these powers that are driving people, the spirit of this age and of this world. And now you've been given this authority over them, so now it's you standing in your position by giving these armors. And I'm not going to go through all of them for the time that I have. You read them. It's going to be the helmet of salvation. I am saved. That's just it. My mind is being renewed as the mind of Christ, and I'm not letting anything else into my thoughts. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I've been made the righteousness of God. Remember in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And what else? His righteousness. So we have to lay hold that I've been made the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21, right? And that I am righteous. I don't care what you say about me. God made me righteous. I have God's own righteousness, right? And the belt of truth. I speak the truth. I live the truth. I know the truth. And I know what the truth did for me. And that truth has set me free. It's made me free. Knowing this truth has made me free so that I can stand against you, devil. I do have a sword. I have the word of God. I not only have the printed word of God, I have what God tells me personally. And that's a double-edged sword. And I can stand and I can wield that sword of the Spirit because my enemies are in the Spirit. Not natural. It's a sword of the Spirit. And I have a shield of faith that I can stand in faith that this is really who I am. This is who I am. I believe God. Faith lays hold of what Jesus provided by grace. By grace you have been saved. And that shield of faith says you stand there. When the devil starts lopping bombs at you, or fiery darts, as it says, missiles, the Amplified says, when he starts trying to bombard you with stuff, you keep that faith right in front of you. No, God made this for me. God made me this way. I didn't do it myself. I stand. He's given me this position. It's mine. And you can stand now with your shield of faith. And then you've got your shoes on for the preparation of the gospel of peace. You are ready to help other people to understand this gospel and walk in it themselves. And you've been given that by God. This book of Ephesians is packed, you guys. But he really wants to make you think this. He is the evil one. That you're not this. And he will give you, you have had doctrines in churches, people in your lives that have never measured you according to this truth. They've never taught you who you are according to this truth. And they don't know themselves, most of them. And then the preachers in other churches might not even preach this truth to you. They might choose some other thing to amplify, but not really who you actually are. Who God made you to be, with no effort on your part. No, it says to labor to enter his rest, Hebrews says. Because it's by faith you've been saved, by this grace of God. It was a gift. We can't earn it, and we can't wreck it. It's a fact. You've been given that position. Now it's a matter of what stands against you. Go back, I said to go back to chapter 4. Go back to it a second. This is the point I was telling you about when I first started speaking. We've been given faith. And it says, as long as you continue to believe. But if you doubt in your heart, you don't get it. Right? If you don't believe, you can't receive. If you doubt, you go without. So even though you've been given this position, if you don't really realize, if your eyes aren't open to who you really are and what's been given to you, then you can't operate in it. And so many people, it's hard to say, go without healings, go without prosperity, go without wonderful, glorious relationships, go without walking and living in joy for all that God's given them. And they're looking for something they don't think they have, like as if they need something from God still. And then they labor and cry and whine and wish and pray that God would move. And he did. He put you there. He made you exactly like himself. So we need to wash our minds. We need to clean our souls. We need to repent of some things. We need to ask God to forgive us for our small thinking and for how we have pigeonholed ourselves. That means put ourselves in a position of no power. Look what it says here in chapter 4. Verse 25. No, I just can't do too much more. All right, I'm going to just do this little bit. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Look at this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, because you're sealed in him, you guys. So he's got to put up with you no matter what. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ready? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Verse 5:1, therefore, Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus made it for us to be able to walk in this power and authority. And the thing that hinders us is the evil that we still carry inside of us. The evil speaking, even when we do it to ourselves, when we say bad things about ourselves because of our past. Listen, your past is gone. You're the only one that keeps it alive. Let it go. Forgive those people. Forgive yourself. Forgive God for not appearing to you at that time to rescue you, even though he was with you. And let it go. And be who he created you to be. And this doubt that causes us to not operate by faith and receive is because we still hold a lot of these things in our hearts. And how can you believe God and believe that you're above all principalities and powers if you still carry this stuff inside of you? So I really do ask you to really get with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed in him. And ask him, Lord, is there something that I believe about myself or others or you that is robbing me from being who you say I am? What's blocking me from being able to believe you so that I can walk in this just like you did? Amen? I love you guys. I love you guys out there too. I suggest that you look at the book of Ephesians, and if you need to, so that your eyes will open, if you read it and you can't retain it, read it again. And read it again. And read it just read a little bit. You know, in a Bible study, just read until a little revelation hits you. And that's where the Holy Spirit says, pay attention to this. And then eat that. Let that feed you. Let that feed you more and more. And just eat that peace, that light right there, until your eyes of your inner person enlighten in that area. And then you're awake in that portion right there. In that piece of scripture, you're awake now. And the more that you can do that, not just read to memorize, but read to come alive. And when you read to come alive, then you really have everlasting life being built inside of you. Amen? I love you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everybody here today, Lord, and for your word. And I ask, Lord, that all that you have presented to us and that you have made possible for us, that we would learn, Father, to lay down the evil that has clung to us and tricked us into believing that's who we are. That it would be removed and washed away from us fully, that our eyes would be open to the inheritance that you truly have given to us. And that we would, Father, be obedient to lay down anything that is not of you, Lord, that we may walk in the glory and the power that you've provided for us, rooted and grounded in love, Lord, that we can walk in the fullness of you, so that we can prove to the principalities and powers and the evil hosts of wickedness and those ones that are in the heavenly places, Lord, that are ruling the darkness of this world, that we would be an open show of who you are. And I thank you for that, Lord. I just want to read one more verse. I know we're done, but I just want to read one more verse the Holy Spirit just showed me right now. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it's not up anymore, but I'm just going to read this to you. This is what Jesus did. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You're not expected to beat the devil. You're not expected to beat the principalities and powers. You're not expected to fight them. You're expected to stand in the knowledge of who you really are. They've been defeated. They are not in charge. You are. Amen. I love you guys. Have a blessed day.